I invite you this evening to turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John, John chapter 18. We're going to read together the verses 28 through 40. John chapter 18, beginning at verse 28. Then they, that is the Sanhedrin, led Jesus from Caiaphas to the Praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die." Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" Then they cried out again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. So far the reading of God's word. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jews had all open doors for them. Everything seemed to be going together and flowing in the right direction for them. They found Judas, who was willing to betray Jesus. They found Jesus weak in Gethsemane, and they made him a prisoner. They brought him before Caiaphas, and they were even able to find two accusers to come with the same accusation. All the doors were open for them. And now they went to Pontius Pilate, and again, another open door, because the Jews knew that under the Roman law, they were not allowed to condemn anyone to death, not even Jesus. That could only be done because of Romans' ability. Not that these Jews were such law-abiding citizens, because they wanted to stone Stephen in just a few chapters later, and they did, and they didn't ask Rome's permission. But Pilate now comes in very handy for the Jews at this particular time, because the Jews were still somewhat afraid of the crowds. And if they could place the blame on someone else, well, so much the better. And so here's another open door. They went to Pontius Pilate. Not that this man, Pilate, was all that interested in their affairs. Undoubtedly, Pilate, as a representative of Rome, had all kinds of difficulties with these Jews, especially when it came to their religious issues. It was always going to be a no-win situation for him. He didn't want to really get involved. And now, why are these Jews, at this particular moment, so interested in Pontius Pilate? Is it because they needed a second opinion? Do they really respect this man and his judgment so much? No. No, but I want to draw your attention to one particular fact this evening. I want to come back to that a little later on as well. Did it ever strike you that these priests, these elders, these Jewish representatives of organized religion never even touched the steps of the praetorium, of the place where Pontius Pilate was? Oh, they needed him, but they didn't want to come too close to him. Why not? And I believe that that's an open door for us tonight. Why didn't they want to get too close to Pontius Pilate? Because they were just going to celebrate the Passover in just a few days. And in order to celebrate that Passover, they had to be clean, because the Passover was a feast for Jews only, and righteous Jews only. Passover had nothing to do with Rome. But they could not defile themselves by placing even their foot on Roman property, Roman government homes. They did not even dare to get close to Pontius Pilate, because according to them, the Passover was a private party. And that's going to come back to bite them in a little bit. And I think that's the key for understanding our passage tonight. You see, they were of the belief that the Passover, that great celebration of going to happen all over Jerusalem, that was private. That had nothing to do with the world. It had nothing to do with Rome. In fact, if they even touched something of the Roman government at that time, that would defile them, and then they couldn't celebrate the Lord's, they couldn't celebrate Passover. And so they came to Pontius Pilate, and they kept their distance. And Pilate asked them, "What really now is the charge? What are you accusing this man of?" The understanding was that if it was something religious, well, then you people can take care of that yourself. You notice, though, that they didn't mention the charge. They didn't want to be caught in that bind. They didn't want to make that choice between calling it a civil or a religious matter. They said to Pilate, "Well, if he were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you. The very fact that we are here, Pilate, a few days before our wonderful Passover feast, we, the scribes and the priests, the representatives of organized religion, these are our busiest days. Now, if this man weren't a criminal, why, we wouldn't be here." And Pilate said, "Oh, come on. Take care of him yourself." They said, "Well, we're not able to do that because we're not allowed to execute anyone." And John, the gospel writer, immediately adds, not that they were so much in respect of Rome, not because they needed a second opinion from Pontius Pilate, not because the Jews at this particular moment didn't dare to do something unlawful. It wasn't lawful for them to put anyone to death. In order that the words, says John, of Jesus might be fulfilled, indicating the kind of death that he would have to die. You see, beloved, the Passover could not be a private party. The very fact that these Jews did not dare to come close to Pontius Pilate, because it was so close to the Passover, and if they were going to touch something of the Roman government, that would defile them. The very fact that they had that in their mind proves that they didn't have a clue. They didn't really understand the significance of the Passover. That blood of the Passover that they were celebrating, that blood on their doorposts, that deliverance from Egypt, wasn't that a prophecy? Did it not only make sense that someday the blood of the real Redeemer had to flow from the hill of Calvary? The Redeemer not just of the Jews, but the Redeemer of the whole world. That deliverance out of Egypt, beloved, does it not only make sense because Jesus was to deliver his people out of the bondage of sin? Wasn't that the whole idea of why that Passover was there? Deliverance? Because what was the Passover? A little private party? A little sectarian feast? It was all something that called out for fulfillment, did it not? And therefore, when the Jews said, well, it's not lawful for us to execute someone, then that's why the sacred writer says that this happened so that the words of Jesus, indicating by the kind of death he would die, would be fulfilled. For Jesus was not going to die in some little nondescript corner of the world. Jesus was not going to be lynched by some angry mob. Jesus had to be lifted up as that snake was lifted up in the wilderness, and the salvation of God's people was then determined by looking at that snake. So Jesus now has to be lifted up so that he could be at the crossroads of the whole world, so that they could say, well, where was he crucified? There, in the center of the Roman world, the center of the world as it was at that time, so that he could say, come to me, all of you, not just you Jews, no, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, so that the words of God might be fulfilled. I love this world so much that I gave my only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Christ reminded Nicodemus of that, remember? Christ reminded Nicodemus of that story of that bronze snake that Moses had to hold up in the wilderness. And Christ said to Nicodemus, as that brass serpent was raised for the healing of my people in the wilderness, so the Son of Man is to be lifted up. Christ would not die as a sectarian Savior. Christ had to die as the one who would bring the whole world into redemption. It wasn't just for the Jews. And now the Jews refused to believe this. Their Passover was meant only for them. They would not even dare touch the steps of the praetorium, because to do so, to touch a Gentile's residence, would somehow defile them during the week of Holy Passover. Reminds me of that saying that Jesus said about them, you are like whitewashed tombs. Oh, so pretty and wonderful and beautiful on the outside, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. You see, the Jews had taken it as just something for them, made it only for themselves. It was all so small. It was all so tidy. It's just ours. But Jesus said, no, no, no. The ends of the world have to see this. This death of mine has to shake the foundations, even of Rome. It's not lawful for any one of us to put someone to death. No, Pilate, you must be the one to give approval. Pilate had to make that decision. Rome had to be involved in order that we might say, when he came to his own, he came home. He created this world. He came to this world that he made, and this world that he made rejected him. Pilate did not take that Jesus now as a universal king either. In fact, he said to him, are you the king? And he added something there. He said, are you then the king of the Jews? Because if you're a king, your kingship has nothing to do with the power of Rome. What you did coming into Jerusalem on that donkey, that was a clear picture that your kingship has to be reduced to a sectarian corner of the world, to just those Jewish people shouting Hosanna. It's merely a religious affair. So now I ask you, are you then king of the Jews? You are no competitor for the Roman emperor. You are at best a sectarian king. Your kingship is limited to that little game that you play with the Jews. And you know, when we read Jesus' answer, it almost seems like he himself reduces his kingship when he replies to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." The Jews saw that Passover was just something for them, a limited little private party. Pilate saw that Jesus could perhaps only be a king of the Jews. And Jesus now in his reply seems to say, well, you know, Pilate, you have a point. My kingship is very limited. My kingdom has nothing to do with this world. Now, there are many people who understand it that way. This text quite often is used to convince the church that she should have nothing to do with society at all. Nothing to do with bringing the gospel to the four corners of the earth. For they say that kingdom of Jesus has nothing to do with politics or labor or business. For that kingship of Jesus is only a little religious, private affair. It's strictly for the church. After all, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Those who see the limitedness of the kingdom try to say, well, see, this is what we mean. They go back to this text, and in light of this reduction, they ask themselves, well, does Jesus again now agree with the Jews in making that Passover a very limited, just our own little feast? Does he not agree with Pontius Pilate that you have to set limits on the kingship of Jesus? It only belongs to the Jews? In his reply to Pilate, is Jesus teaching us that we have to understand the kingdom in a very limited, narrow sense? No. No, beloved. No. Nothing could be further from the truth. For when Pilate limited the kingdom of Jesus to a kingdom which only had meaning for the Jewish nation, it was Jesus himself who said, "I don't rule by the grace of the Jews. I do not rule because only one particular world system recognizes my kingship. I rule because my kingdom is a heavenly kingdom. And it comes with heavenly claims. And it comes with heavenly power. My kingdom is not of this world. It comes from heaven. It has divine power and divine dimensions. For this reason," Jesus says, "for this reason I came into the world to bear witness to the truth." And what is that truth? Well, brothers and sisters, young people, the truth is that God created the universe, and that by our fall into sin, we did not only destroy our relationship with God. He said, "The day that you eat of that tree that I told you not to eat from, the day that you do that, you will die." And you look at that story of Adam and Eve, and you say, well, they didn't die. They still had air in their lungs, and the blood was still coursing through their veins. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, they died. Their relationship with God was severed. And if your relationship with God is broken, you're dead. And ever since that, we've experienced that death. Man has ruined this entire world, not just our relationship with God, but also our relationship with each other and our relationship with this world in which we live. Thorns and thistles grow because we fell into sin. Pain in childbirth has been increased. I remember the story of that one young woman who had a particularly hard time in childbirth, 12 to 14 hours in delivering her first child. And her pastor came in to see her after that was done and said, "How are we doing?" And she said, "I just had one thought going through my mind. The day is going to come when I die and I'm going to meet Eve and I'm going to punch her lights out." You see, it wasn't just Eve's fall into sin. It was Adam's fall into sin, which is exactly what we would have done too. That's why thorns and thistles grow. That's why work is so difficult. And the truth is that Jesus Christ came into this world to reconcile us as individuals to the Father. Jesus Christ came into this world in order to restore us, not just with God, but also with each other and also with creation, to redeem it, to make it beautiful again. But that could only take place by way of a cross. Jesus had to be lifted up in order that everyone may celebrate that great covenant feast, in order that all things might be reconciled again to the Father, all things in heaven and on earth, in order that we may look forward to the coming of Jesus. And when he comes upon the clouds of heaven, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, because the kingship is not of this world. That is, it didn't come from this world. That kingship is a heavenly kingship. It comes with divine power. It's going to restore things to its original beauty. And we're going to see that, beloved. And soon, I hope. We shall soon experience the full impact of that salvation of Jesus. When our Savior comes again upon the clouds of heaven, then we will see all things beautiful. We see little bits of it. We see a little sunrise. Maybe some of you see sunrises. I always wondered why God wastes such beauty on sunrises. Nobody's around to see them. Ever since I've had my leg amputated, I found that sleep is not all that much available. I've seen some very beautiful sunrises. That'll teach me for saying that you only see sunrises when you... Anyway, just a little glimpse, just a little bit of the beauty of what's going to happen when Jesus comes again. And you see, that's why the Jews were so wrong when they said, "Well, that Passover, that Old Testament Passover, that was just for us. That's just our little feast. In fact, we don't even dare to touch that Gentile's home because then we'd defile ourselves for our little private party." And that's why Pilate was so dead wrong when he said to Jesus, "Are you then a king of the Jews?" For Jesus said, "No, the Son of Man has to be lifted up so that the ends of the earth may come and be saved. For his work is not limited to a certain group of people. His work is not going to be performed in some quiet, cozy corner of the world somewhere. Christ is going to be lifted up so that red and yellow, black and white may come to a saving knowledge." And that's why we are dead wrong if we think that faith in Jesus Christ is just simply for us. The empty pews that you see around us force us to recognize that there are more who must come to share in the sufferings of Christ. Our love for God and our love for our neighbor must speak to them about a God who loves this world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes on him will not perish, but will have eternal life. Everyone who comes to the cross of Calvary will be saved. Till one day, soon, this entire creation of God, which now groans and moans under that load of sin, may one day be completely restored to its original heavenly beauty. That harmony, that joy, that shalom, when Jesus will come back on the clouds of heaven and he will make all things new. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. O Lord, our Lord, we look forward to the day when we will see all things as they were originally, beautiful. Open harmony with you in all things. Open harmony with one another. And open harmony with all of creation. Haste the day, Father, that our faith may be made sight. And until that time, let us be open and willing to talk about this Savior, the one who loved us so much, the one who has given us now the opportunity to talk about that love to others. May we go with the gospel and not be afraid, because we have open doors for us, because Jesus has been raised from the dead. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.